You know, actually, you guys can come up. We're gonna introduce these guys, and they're gonna do a bit of setup up here. You know, for the last few months, we have been talking and praying into summer camp. We've been, praying into it. Many of you have sponsored young people. Many of you have bought a bacon and egg buddy for well over what it is actually worth. But you've done it because the goal was to see every young person attend summer camp who had a desire to do so. In our heart is that not one person would miss out where finance was an issue, and I think it's really awesome that the young people made a decision to do whatever they could to raise money, and they got up and they made bacon and egg rolls. Half the money was gone when they set off the fire alarm in order to pay the EMU. Far out. Was anyone here for that weekend? What a beautiful weekend that was. evacuating the church. But the good news is we have good protocol, and we made it out and we made it in, so it was a good test. But 1 Peter 3:15. In 1 Peter 3, it's talking about the need to always be ready in every season to share your faith. And in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have. And I love that. And as you look through Scripture, as you read the Word of God more and more, what you start to understand is their stories of God's faithfulness from one generation to the next. His goodness, His kindness, the fact that He continues to work and He continues to be faithful. Even when we aren't faithful, the Lord is always faithful. And all through Scriptures, as you'll find, they built altars to the Lord. Every time a miracle took place, every time someone saw the kindness of the Lord, they built altars. And often altars were just a whole lot of rocks that they stacked upon each other. So when they walked by it again in times to come, they would see those rocks, and it would be a call to remembrance of the faithfulness of God. And it would spark conversations. You know, one person would tell his son or his daughter, and they would say, hey, this is when the Lord was faithful. This is when we crossed the Red Sea. This is when we had manna to eat. There were so many. And this morning, what we thought we'd do is we'd spend some time building some altars so we would remember the faithfulness of God. And I had the privilege of going to youth camp last week for a couple of times. I went on the Friday night and then came back on the Saturday. And watching what the Lord was doing was really special. And I thought, you know what? The church has been praying for youth camp. The church has been funding for youth camp, sponsoring kids. We want to see and we want to hear the stories of God's faithfulness and what the impact was. So we thought what we'd do is we'd, Stephen and I would interview some students, some older students. There's no judgment here. This is Braden. He's in year 11 this year, and we're believing that you're going to have a great future ahead of you, Braden. Braden, we wanted to hear a parent's point of view as well, which I thought would be really, really special. And then this is Toby. This is Bailey. You might remember Toby from such model shoots as Summer Camp 2024. I saw that photo shoot. And this is Bailey, and this is Daniela, and Stephen over there is the better half. So we are going to be hearing some testimonies. But one thing we also did at camp, I'm going to sit down. Everyone else gets to sit down. Why can't I sit down? I thought what we'd also do is we mentioned some news last week, and the youth have been hearing this for the last few months now, and that is about Kelsey and Stephen. You know, and I want to publicly say this, and I'll keep saying it. I am beyond thankful. Our church is beyond thankful for you, Stephen, you and Brittany, for what you've done. You stabilized you and your wife, you know, and I know that you've been the one that's predominantly on platform, but we all know that for this to have worked, it takes both saying yes. So we honour you and honour your beautiful wife and your three incredible kids. If we could bottle your kids up, we would, because they are just incredible. Thank God they look like Brittany. That's all I'm saying. Have your last name. So it's the perfect combination. Your last name, her looks. Thank the Lord. You've stabilized youth. You've brought your best. You've given over and above. And I know that you committed to the end of last year, and then when after a conversation, it became abundantly clear that you wanted to be a part of summer camp and you're willing to be it, and we are forever thankful for that. And same with Kelsey. Kelsey couldn't be here today because Kelsey is in her final year of midwifery. So she started her practical. So she's going to be travelling all over New Zealand. And as I said last week, you may not see Kelsey, but you'll see the fruit of Kelsey in healthy children being given birth and all over. So she has been, again, just a solid rock. But when we had a conversation, Steve and I had a conversation all through the back end of last year, it's again clear that Stephen's called to ministry, but found that he was in two worlds. He's studying in his final stages of getting his pilot's license, working for Mission Aviation Fellowship. So we told him all last week that you went for your first flight just a few weeks ago, solo, which is pretty awesome. We can't wait for you to get that sorted. So we can have we could use you. We could hire you for flights to summer camp from now on. We're just going to catch a plane. It'd be much easier, yeah. But as of this year, you're going to be focusing on that. Still going to be a key part of what we're doing here at Curate Church. Still going to be in the offices, hopefully one day a week. Still a part of our staff meeting, and we feel absolutely committed to seeing you fulfill the call of God upon your life. So we're looking forward to seeing you preach the word on this platform. But what it meant is that we had an opportunity then to look at hiring some youth pastors or some generation pastors. But I thought I'd get you to introduce Isaac and Tatum and also say whatever you want to say about youth or anything else.
Great. Thank you. I just wanted to echo what Nick started with. There wasn't a single kid that wanted to come to camp that wasn't able to come because of funds, and that is because of your appetite for bacon and egg rolls on a Sunday morning, as well as several people approached me and said, hey, if you come up short at the end of this fundraiser, just let us know. We'd love to make sure that everybody has the opportunity, and that's massive. Some of you will have remembered what youth camp was like for you, what summer camp was like for you. If you didn't get that opportunity as a young person, hopefully today illuminates that a little bit for you, and you can see why it is such an incredible moment for a young person to be in a room surrounded by their peers going, oh, I'm not alone. I'm not alone in this fight. I'm not a weirdo. I don't stand out like a sore thumb at school. I'm not by myself in this pursuit of Jesus, but actually there's a whole group of us. And this whole group of us was supported by this whole group of us. So thank you very, very, very much for making camp possible. We didn't have to cut too many corners or serve disgusting food. We actually had waffles for dessert one night, and they were delicious. So thank you so much for your help. Thank you for getting all the youth to camp. It means the world to me that we didn't have to turn anybody away because they couldn't provide their own way to camp. So thank you. That's massive. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Thank you guys so much. I'll introduce Isaac and Tatum, who hopefully are joining us on the screen soon-ish. But hey.
Yes.
Oh, can you hear us?
Hey, everybody.
Yeah.
How are we doing?
Yeah, very good. Can you guys hear us okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear us all right? It's 6:30 in Brisbane, so we're still trying to wake up a little bit. We might be a bit tired, so go easy on us.
Well, you guys are looking great. So this is Isaac and Tatum. Isaac's the one with the half mustache. Yeah, that's him.
Here's the thing. If I shaved it, I'd be in Curate Kids. I'd look that young.
And then Tatum, his lovely wife, who said yes to him just over a year ago. And then you guys got married in December.
That's it.
Yeah, great. Best so decision. They were with us at camp. Yeah, that's good. Keep that on. They were with us at camp, and we got an awesome opportunity out by the lake on Sunday morning to, we prayed and blessed Kelsey and thanked her for all her hard work, and then we prayed and blessed these guys and welcomed them in. And so they got to be with us at camp, and now they're just packing all their stuff away. But Isaac's going to be here on Thursday for youth. Woo! Yeah, it's going to be good.
Can't wait.
And then the week after that, they'll both be here. and are still looking for a rental. If you know anyone who wants to host these lovely people and have them move in, then hey, over to you guys if you wanted to say anything.
Do you want to say anything? Yeah, no, we're so excited, to be honest, to see you guys soon. And it's a privilege to be able to work with the next generation. And so we can't wait to see you guys soon. And I love what you were saying before, Stephen, about camp. Like, we totally echo what you were saying. We just want to say a massive thank you to all of the parents who, you know, made sure their kid was going to camp, and all the people who sponsored a kid as well to go to camp. It was amazing. Hey, and I don't know about you, Tim. I felt so much more excited after going to camp for this next generation, especially at Curate.
Yeah, absolutely. It was amazing to be witness to what God is doing in the youth and the hunger that the young people feel for God and to encounter His presence. And you know, even for us with the move coming up, it was just such a peaceful confirmation that this is where God wants us in this next season. And we said this to, you know, the youth as well. We said, it already feels like home. So we're so excited to come back and be with you all officially.
That's it.
Yeah, it's great.
That's so exciting. You know, for us as a church, we are extremely passionate about the age group, kids, youth, and young adults. And it's a big part of what we believe our future is, and making sure that we invest into that. Even with kids and youth, we don't want, even when when you take your kids to the kids ministry, we don't want anyone to feel babysat. That's not what we're here for. We're here about discipleship and watching young people be discipled, understand the Word of God, and be taught the Word of God. So we want to make sure that people have the opportunity, young people have the opportunity right from an early age to find those iron sharpens iron friends, and we're passionate about that. I know that I am the result of my parents making a decision to being in a church that valued young people from an early age. And so we don't want to just say that. We want to make sure that we invest into that, which is why we are, again, investing into kids, youth, and young adults. So Isaac and Tatum are going to oversee Generations for Curate Church, so kids, youth, and young adults. So we actually are in the process as well of we have the ability to hire another part-time person for kids as well. So if you're passionate about kids and feel like ministry is on your life, we'd love to have a conversation with you about that too, because we want to make sure that we don't just talk about it. We want to financially back that and see our kids' ministry go from strength to strength as well. But Isaac and Tatum, you both have experience in kids and youth. So why don't you tell us a bit about that?
Well, I became a youth leader at our church in Brisbane straight after high school. So I was freshly 18 at the time, and I started leading a group of young girls who they start high school in year 7, but for you guys, I think that's year 9 or intermediate. And I've taken them all the way through now to the end of high school. They'll be graduating at the end of this year, and it has been the best experience to do that with them. I feel like even for myself, yes, they're growing, but we've been able to grow together and to disciple them and to be on the journey with them has been amazing. But outside of that as well, I've loved the kids ministry, preached there a few times and love going to be with the little ones. But even just in my own personal life, been working with kids in a few different roles. So I love kids. They're awesome. And yeah.
Yeah. And out of school, I was a kids leader for 3 years. First, and loved it, and totally agree with what Nick says. Like, we believe that it's way more than just babysitting.
Yeah.
I remember growing up, going to Sunday school, and that's where I learned Psalm 23, the Lord's Prayer. Just, you know, pillars and things that really set me up for a great high school and for my teenage years too. So, yeah, we're passionate about the kids' ministry, and we want to see it thrive.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I've got some questions written down. How old are you both?
I'm 22. I probably don't look it, but I'm 22.
Despite the mustache, I'm 24. I know, young age. Yeah,
you guys are awesome.
Yeah, we're pumped about the young adults ministry too.
We are young adults. So.
And look, you know, we could give you a spiritual reason for why we're excited about the young adults, which we do definitely have. But we also just want friends in New Zealand. So, any young adults, if you want to hang, we're gonna. We're going to have dinners. We're going to have everything ready as well. But, you know, we know that young adults are looking for purpose, for identity and partners, because that's where Tatum and I met, which in a young adults connect group too. So we're keen to start running some stuff like that. And yeah.
That is awesome. we had a whole lot of people yell out, you got some friends already.
Good.
You know, you're both exceptional leaders, and we know that there's a call of God upon your life. In fact, just so you know, years ago at our previous church, we tried to hire Isaac as our kids pastor because he's incredible with kids, but said no to us at the time. Still a wound that's healing, but has been for the last few years been involved with Alpha Integration, Youth Alpha Integration across Australia, and has helped rolling out the Youth Alpha course, which is awesome. So we're looking forward to that expertise as well. But any final thoughts from you guys?
No, we're just so excited to see you. And I'm pumped to be there on Thursday. So hey, parents, young people, hey, please invite any teenagers that you know. We'd love to meet you all. I know we're both going to be seeing you guys in 2 weeks, but hey, Thursday night, if you can, be there. Invite any teenagers you know. We'd love to meet you. And I feel like something special is going to take place. So can't wait to see you guys soon.
Awesome. Can you give them a hand? We'll talk to you later. We'll see you in the next service, but you can stick around and whatnot.
Okay. We'll watch.
Awesome. All right. Here we go. Stephen.
Here we go.
Over to you.
We're going to start with Bailey. Now we didn't cherry pick any of these people here. They all kind of like fell into order. Even this morning, the last edition was added. So thank you, Braden, for being up here. But Bailey was the first who we asked at camp, hey, if anybody had any stories that they wanted to share. And Bailey was the first. So we're going to start with Bailey. Can she have your mic, Nick?
Oh, yeah.
And then I can ask her questions and she can answer. Yeah, Bailey was the first to ask. She said, hey, can I share? I've got something that I'd like to say. And Bailey's brother was Tyron, who was helping lead worship. And Bailey's parents are almost always found in the front row. So an incredible family. But Bailey actually asked me to ask her this question, a little bit of behind the scenes, because she has an incredible answer for it. She asked me to ask her, what's changed since camp? So Bailey, what's changed since camp?
So usually when I would listen to music, I'll just listen to random music. But lately I've just been listening to a lot of worship music, and I've actually found that I'm a lot happier singing worship music than normal music. And I was scrolling on TikTok and I found this app where you can get a Bible verse on your home screen. And I didn't realize, but every day you can study a verse that it gives you, and then it like breaks it down, and then it asks you to reflect on things, and you get a prayer. So yeah, I feel like I've just grown a lot closer to the Lord, and yeah, I just love him so much.
That's awesome. That's so good. I know that there's quite a few Bible scholars in the room, and I bet you anything, if you asked any of them, they would have wished that they had started studying the Bible earlier. So the fact that you're doing that now, Bailey, is amazing, and we're stoked for that. Another question that I have for you was, what was something really fun that happened at camp? Because we had three goals at camp. It was Jesus, it was connection with community, and then fun was absolutely a goal. So what was fun about camp?
So originally, I wasn't going to go on the magic carpet, which was the biscuit on the lake. But with a lot of persuading and encouraging from my mum, I actually went on it and I had so much fun. Although I was in pain for the next like 3 days, but it was such a fun experience praying to Lord that I didn't fall off and I didn't get injured. But yeah, it was so fun, and I made some new friends on the biscuit because I actually didn't go with my friend. So, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Just so you guys know, the magic carpet is a big piece of foam that gets dragged behind the boat, and 8 people can go on it, and leaders are allowed. So if you want to be a part of next year's camp and you want to jump on the magic carpet, come along. And then actually, Bailey, just to finish off, you had something personal that you wanted to share. So over to you.
Yeah, firstly, I just wanted to thank my parents for their everyday, Bailey, are you sure you don't want to go? Are you sure? Because if it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't have had second thoughts about going, because I wasn't going to go originally. And also to everyone who bought bacon buddies to help youth financially as we went on camp, but especially to people like Gail who felt the call of God to sponsor youth, because I know there would have been a lot of youth that wouldn't have been able to go and experience youth if they didn't get sponsored. And finally, I actually want to thank Stephen and Kelsey and everyone who put time and effort and hours of their day into organising camp, because it was such a fun experience and I just wish that so many youth could go there, and it's just so much fun and I will go every single year.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Thanks, Bailey. Just so you know, none of that was scripted. I didn't have any input into that. Thanks. That was awesome. If you want to hand that mic back to Nick, and then I'll hand this one to you, Toby.
It's awesome. Bailey, I want to say to you, it has been awesome watching you over the last few months, and I've already seen the change in you and the confidence grow in you, and I have no doubt that God's marked you, He's called you, and you're going to have an incredible 2025. So we look forward to seeing your growth, because the church is better as we have more young people like you choosing to step forward into the call of God upon their life. So well done, and thank you for being an inspiration. So you are awesome. That's great. Toby.
Hey, yep.
Hello. Give us your full name.
Toby Mac Van Hoonen.
Oh, nice. And what year are you in school?
Year 12 this year.
Year 12 this year. What do you want to do the rest of your life? No, I'm joking. That wasn't a question. So, Toby, you were we were talking earlier. Two questions that we ask church every week at the end of the service is, what did the Lord say and what are you going to do about it? And obviously the answer to those questions are different each week, because the goal is that the Lord would speak in every situation, in every service, and then the goal is that church isn't for Sunday. It's empowered for what you're going to do during the week. And same thing with camp, right? Camp isn't about camp. It's about being equipped, empowered, so you succeed and you're equipped for the year ahead. So is there a moment over camp that you feel like the Lord spoke to you or something took place?
Yeah. So ever since before camp, I've always asked and I've prayed before bed. I've always asked and put worship on before bed, and I would have a moment and say, if there's, like, you know, Lord, work through me and use me to guide other people and people around me. And I would always just sit there in silence, and I would always ask if, like, for a word. And nothing really came to me, but, like, a week before camp, I did it every night, and I said, just give me a word, Lord. And I sat there for like 10 minutes before bed. And then the word leadership came. And I was like, okay, I can work with this. And so at camp, I, you know, went around with leaders and I said, oh, is there anything I could do? Or is there like, what can I do to become a leader? And they just said, keep like, showing up, keep helping out, and showing the leaders, showing the youth around me, you know, like, be quiet when someone's talking. That's a big thing. But yeah, leadership is a word that stuck with me throughout youth, and it's pretty big. It's got heaps of meanings, and it's definitely something I want to take and work and, like, to become a leader one day. And all my older siblings, they were all leaders, so I've got heaps of role models that I look up to. And so, it's definitely something that I want to become when I'm a little bit older. But yeah, what I can do to work on it is showing up to youth every Thursday, showing up early, asking if anyone needs help, and just praying for friends. And it's also praying for people that you don't really know. And if you like to see someone that's just in the corner, like, you know, go up to them and just say, hey, can I just pray for you? It's like the little things that make the big impacts, and you really don't understand like how important it is to someone that, you know, it probably isn't having a good day, and you used to just go up to them and just pray for them. It really does mean a lot to them. So it's just the little things that make the big impacts, and that's, you know, what it's like to be a leader.
That's awesome, mate.
Yeah.
And what I would encourage you with is, I know you say when you get a little bit older, but we were laughing about it earlier. You know, I had the opportunity and the privilege to pray over a few of the students at camp. And one of the things that kept coming up, because I'd always ask them, all right, who do you look at camp and you think they are walking with the Lord?
Yeah.
And your name came up constantly. And we would say, you're already a leader. And the Lord's walking through you, working through you. You know, one of the quotes back in the day was by a man of God. He said, preach always, and if necessary, use words. Yeah. And I think you are someone that has constantly been preaching the word of God through your actions, by showing up. So I would encourage you not to wait until you get a little bit older, because there's already a call of God upon your life now. Mm. And your peers can see it, and those around you that have the privilege of getting to know you can see it as well. So it's pretty awesome, mate. And again, just like Bailey, we are excited, and we will do whatever we can as a church to keep empowering the leadership upon your life, because I do believe that you're called and you're set apart. So we're excited for this year, mate. You're a good man.
Yeah.
You are. Let's give him a hand. Come on.
Good system. I'm pretty sure your full name is Toblerone, though. You didn't share that. I noticed you just said Toby. Toby is short for Toblerone. He's named after the chocolate bar. I don't know if that's true. I know it's not true. On to Daniela. Daniela has been an incredible part of this youth ministry for a long time. You've been incredibly stable, and so it's great to have you up here as somebody who is definitely a part of laying the future and being a part of that. In youth ministry, I talk often about how many kids there are on paper, and there's a lot of kids on paper that have signed in over the last year or 2 years, and then on average how many kids come on a night, and then the number that like really, really matters is the core group, that you're like, they'll be here on a Thursday, and if they're not, you're like, where are they? That doesn't make sense. They should be here. And Daniela, you're definitely one of those core people that influence youth when you're here. So thanks for growing into that, and thanks for continuing to partner with us as we grow. Daniela, what was your favorite part of camp?
So worship is like an obvious one. Worship at camp is just like next level. There's just, you can like truly feel the Spirit of God in the room. And it's just like, if every single teenager could experience that, I just feel like the world would be so much better. But worship was one, and like the magic carpet is yeah, obviously so much fun. Hopefully next year we get to do it more than once.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's a good answer. The worship team was mixed between the two youth groups that showed up, and they put a lot of effort into the practice of it. And then it was just so much prayer and so much time went into it that it was really special. And it was youth-led, and it was amazing. Yeah, worship was great. Another thing that I wanted to ask you is if you could just give like some explanation as to why at camp we would obviously rush down to the front. There's kind of like this movement that happened at worship. Why did we do it this morning? Why would we come down the front for worship?
Yeah, well, worship just in general is like a sacrifice. Like you, like the word worship is not about you. It's about God. And when at camp, like we are seeking after encounters, and that's like important because we get to experience God in such real ways. And it's not always going to be like that. Worship isn't always, that's not what worship's about. Worship's about praising the Lord and coming up to the front. Yeah, it's fun to jump around, but also we need to be making sure that our like posture towards worship is to be praising the Lord and to be putting aside the things that we are worried about or stressed about, And yeah, it's important to like bring those to the Lord, but worship is about God, and coming up to the front, it's just like a physical representation of that, because it can be scary worshiping in front of the whole church, but as long as our motivation to worship is to praise the Lord, then I feel like you can do it wherever. And that's also something that when you go away from camp, worship is different at camp than it is in your everyday. Worship doesn't have to look like singing. Worship can be opening your Bible every day and praying, spending time alone with God. And I think sometimes as youth, we just chase after the thrill, and Christianity isn't about chasing after the thrill. It's about bringing him into your everyday, reading your Bible every day, worshiping God every day. Like, it's about the little moments, not about camp. Camp is just like one moment in your life that sets you up for your year or your life or whatever.
Yeah, great. We're all just going to hop off the stage and Danielle's going to preach for another hour or so. And yeah, that's awesome. That's such a good point. And actually, I'm just going to throw it back to you, because you wanted to share some practical ways of not letting camp become a moment. We talked a little bit about camp. I used some of the married people in the room as a metaphor. When you're engaged, you don't want to prepare for the wedding. You don't want to prepare just for the day. You want to prepare for the marriage, and you want to take whatever preparation you can into the long haul. Because if you're just preparing for the day, like if we just prepared for camp, we would have this big camp and then we'd get back and it'd be like, great, that's over. It's in the past. And you had some practical ways that you wanted to share of not just preparing for the camp, but preparing for a life with God. So back to you.
Yeah. Some practical ways, youth for teenagers. I'm speaking mostly to the youth in this, but showing up to youth consistently. I remember when it was like the last youth of the term or something, and there was like maybe 20 kids, 20 of us youth, and it was like a movie night, and Anika and Ellie were telling us that Josiah isn't going to be the youth pastor anymore. And I remember sitting with my friends and we were talking and we were like, guys, we need a promise to like keep showing up, because the people who keep showing up, they're going to be the ones who lead the rest of youth. They're going to be the ones who are the youth leaders and who pray for people. And we've gone through so much as a youth group and as a church in general. And I just truly believe that we're the future of the church. And there's a verse that I got shared by Tatum, because Tatum prayed for me. Also, Tatum is wonderful, guys. We're in such good hands. Like, she's amazing. And it's from Joel 2, verse 24 to 27. And it's, the threshing floors shall be full of grain. The vat shall overflow with wine and oil. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army, which I set among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is no one else. And my people shall never again be put to shame. And I just think that that's really what the Lord has over Kirat Youth this year and in the future. Like, we're going to flourish again, and we're going to grow. And I just truly believe that God has his hand over Kirat Church, and he has for the past 3 years, even though it's been hard. Like, everything is on purpose. Like, the people who were there and showed up every week, like, he had us there for a reason, even though it was hard some weeks to come to youth. And because you see like what it was like a year or two ago, and then you come and you're like, whoa, this is so different. But like, youth is so much more than just about the hype. It's about community, it's about like growing together, and it's about just like doing like young teenager life together. And I just, yeah, so that's one. Show up to youth every week, because it's about to get really good. I just feel it. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Like, it's active and living. it's given to you for a reason. It's free. It's on your phone. It's on the desk. Like, just open it. Okay, put down TikTok. Put down your phone. Just read your Bible. Pray before you go to bed during your day when you're walking to class. Like, gratitude prayers are so simple. Just be like, thank you that my feet are working and that I get to go to class. Like, gratitude is so simple, and it's something that we can all do. And it's like, what, like, five good things outweigh one bad thing. So every time something bad happens, just say five things that you're thankful for. Like, pray, read your Bible, gratitude. And then, yeah, like, it's not going to be easy. Like, maybe after camp you feel cruisy for a couple of days, but, like, term two hits, exams hit, mocks hit, like, you will get tired and your faith may feel like it's, like, stagnant and that you're not going anywhere, but, like, God moves either way. Like, you just need to, like, keep pursuing him and keep praying, keep reading your Bible. Don't give up when it feels like nothing's happening, because your everyday isn't going to feel like camp. Your everyday isn't going to be crazy encounters where you cry and sob. It's not that. It's like the mundane moments that you connect with God. Yeah, like, don't give up. Don't give up.
Yeah, it's really good. 90% of your life is just showing up, being present, being willing, showing up. While you were speaking, I had this picture of the disciples. They didn't know that they were a part of something historic, right? It took them so long to figure out that they were actually showing up for a reason. And I feel like, oh, geez, dang it. I can't cry and talk. It's like my least favorite thing. I don't mind crying, but I just hate that I can't cry and communicate. I feel like you've discovered that, Danielle. I feel like you've discovered that you are a part of something, and it's just going to require you to continue to show up. And like the song that we sang, we don't have much to give the King of Kings, but what we do have to give is showing up in our hallelujah. And so thank you for being consistent. Thank you for being faithful, and thank you for showing up for us. It's massive. It's awesome. You guys are about to step into something amazing, and she's right. Isaac and Tatum are incredible. Your youth are in good hands, and if you were, like, concerned over the last couple years, even you're concerned over the last 8 months, stop being concerned and bring your kids to youth. It's gonna be a place where they're gonna grow and they're gonna encounter the living God and they're gonna read their alive and active Bibles, like Daniela said. So, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate that. We'll hand the mics.
Could listen to you all day, Daniela. That was really special and encouraging and challenging. So thank you. Yeah, never give up, never lose that passion. I think we'll hear stories from today of adults that'll look back and go, I want that passion again. And that's the beauty, you know. In Psalms it talks about one generation commends your works to another, they tell of your mighty deeds. And that's why moments and services like these are so powerful, because encouragement and challenging each other isn't just one way, you know, it's both. And that's why a church that is generational and has a blend of different ages is special, because we all grow together. So that was really cool. I got so much out of that. Brayden.
Howdy.
Hello. You know, I think it's really special hearing a parent's point of view as well. We've heard some students and they've told us about camp. Why do you go to camp?
So you guys all know this, but like as parents, you don't know what you're doing, right? You've got this thing and it's annoying and you're like, I don't know what to do with this. Maybe someone else does. And so that's why you go to youth group, right? Because you're like, God's always speaking. They're not listening to me. If I get them in an environment where they might listen, that's good. So we take them to youth and there's more annoying things, the same. and eventually you start to like them, like your own. And camp's the same. Like you need your kids in camp because you know God wants to say something to them and they don't always listen to you. and they won't go if I don't go, you know. And so it's always been a battle to, like, I need my kids in youth, but unless I'm there, they're not going to be there. Sometimes it's the way it is. So I've been to all the camps, and sometimes it's been a week battle to get the kids there, and sometimes it's longer, and it's been hard work. And you turn up at youth or camp, and you got a people mover, eh, which is just a cage fighting ring. You guys know what that's like, eh? And you turn up, and then someone nice on the door wants to shake your hand, and you've just told the kids to get their Christian face on, and you're just traumatized, and you're trying to, like, make things happen. And that's what camp's like. So you start off, you get them there, and you're just trying to come down and enjoy the moment. I don't know where I'm going, but camp, it's been really cool to see the youth. You know, I used to hate coming to youth because I had to be there, and they drove me nuts for about 2 years, and then some reason, I don't know, I started to like them. And it's been really cool seeing God just grab some of these kids and U-turn them like he's grabbed Nixon and Sam. It's been awesome. Yeah. And so now, as the old guy, I'm waiting for Samson, and I'm waiting for Noah, and I'm waiting for Zara, because God's going to grab them, you two of them. It's going to be awesome. Sorry.
I love it. I know that, you know, you talk, you know, like they're annoying, but I love watching your heart for youth, you know, and I love watching you on the door every week when I drop the kids off. And you just spend time with them, you love them, you're a softy, and I'm thankful for it. You talk a tough game, but you're very soft.
And they know it, and they mock me relentlessly for being.
But can I ask you, I was there on Saturday morning, and it was a pretty special moment, and you had your phone out like a proud father. Do you want to walk us through that moment?
Whew. You know, sometimes life's tough, right? And you've got these kids, and you don't know what's going on, and you can't get through to them, and it's tough. And so, as I say, you just keep turning up, you keep getting them there. You know, all our kids have got amazing, beautiful differences. You know, and one of the things I like about youth is, you know, this youth on Thursday, there was four kids that didn't connect, and because they don't know yet. They're what's different about them. It's what makes them beautiful. And so if I can grab that and pull it out of them, that's what I'll do. So I'm not always in the middle with the guys that are connected. It's these other guys. And your kids are all the same. And so, you know, we had this kid that you know, was on the outside. But, man, she could sing. She could sing. And so, you know, we'd struggle with getting them to camp. And we had a talent quest, and she wanted to do it, she wanted to do it, and she battled, and it was really tough. And we went through the roller coaster probably a week before, because she knew this thing was on. And she got up there and she sung, and she just blew us away. And then Stephen says, at the end of that camp, one day you're going to lead the youth, lead the worship. And here she is in our team, leading worship, you know. And so sometimes from the start and the dark places, you can't see what the end's going to be, but you've just got to. I mean, that's why I bring them along. And so I'd encourage you, if, you know, your kids don't want to come along, just come along and hang out and crowd control and make sure people don't run away and meet a few kids and help out. You don't have to be at the front. You don't have to be cool. You get to embarrass your kids. That's a side benefit.
I wanted you to hear that story. Because as a parent, you know that life isn't always easy. And I know that sometimes for some of you, for some of us, getting your kids to church is a big deal. And first of all, I want to say thank you for making church a constant in your family, because your kids may not understand it yet, but they will when they get older. You know, I remember getting dragged to church as a kid. I didn't want to go to church. But I knew in our house, and my mum and dad made it very clear, in our house, we go to church. So as much as I hated it, I had to go. And at some point it changes and it clicks, and those messages that fly over your head as a young person, at some point they hit you in the heart and everything changes. And you find those iron sharpened iron friends, you get connected, and the Lord does what only He can. And I think it's important hearing stories like that from parents and seeing the change. And that's why we say as a church, it's a village, it takes a village. You know, the old African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child. We are all in this together. So can I encourage you, if you're a parent in this room and you're like, hey, I need some help, please put up your hand so we can do and we can pray and we can do life together, because you shouldn't do it alone. It's not supposed to be alone. Christianity, humanity, it's not meant to be alone. It's a team sport. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And if you've been coming to church for a little while, you've heard me say it. And if you keep coming to church, you're going to keep hearing me say it. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. I'm so proud of you guys. I'm so proud of where youth is and where youth is going, because you're not just the next generation, you're the now generation. And our church is in good hands looking at the fruit that's coming through. And Stephen's right. You know, we might be at a season where we're, you know, your new pastors have been imports, so to speak, or a welcome home from Sarah. And then we've got that. But the goal of our church will always be to be a leadership pipeline where we see leaders from within flourish, and they will be the leaders of tomorrow. So our goal is not to just keep bringing people from everywhere. Our goal is to see those flourish from within, because that will be the health. So look out, because there's three incredible candidates already. And I can't wait for you to take one of our jobs. Can't wait, because it's yours. We all know, everyone on staff knows, that it's not ours. We are simply caretakers for the next generation. So we can't wait to hand it to you. And then when you have it, our prayer is that you would feel the same way. It's not yours. You're just caretakers for the next generation, because we are building a godly inheritance for our children's children.